Hey, Gary, what are we doing today?
Well, first of all, I'd like you to take a look around your room there and see if you notice anything missing.
Let's see here. I've got sound panels. There's this glass of beer. No, everything looks to be in place.
Well, listeners to Watch Out for Fireballs will know that I just recently completed the last piece of the puzzle in, getting full access to Cole's life, and that is getting his middle name. So previously, you know, we had to mail things back and forth. I had his email address, his Skype name. I was able to theft your identity, get a spare key from your landlord.
Wait a minute.
And I'd like you to tell me what this sounds like.
No.
That's right.
No. 1, 2, 3.
So what I have here
is a list of
index cards that Cole has carefully curated that have all the games he hasn't played.
Oh, God.
And I've crossed out all the games he hasn't played and assigned a terrible game. And I'm going to throw them on the floor and then watch as Cole picks them up.
No. We're going to be affirming. I have to count them first. Oh, God.
All right. Pick these up, boy.
What's this one say?
Well, it says Captain Skyhawk.
Oh,
I think it used to say BioShock 2, but now it says Captain Skyhawk.
Oh, fuck. Into the level, I see.
No, I didn't. I knew you said that it was one of the first games you owned.
Oh, yeah. No. I'm talking about the index cards. Yeah. No, the index cards.
Yeah. You talk about that in all of your fucking shows, Cole. You don't have to get, it's not a deep cut.
Okay. That's not as well hidden as you might think. Okay.
Yeah, that is not that obscure, buddy.
I just recently revamped the system, so.
Oh, okay. Bigger index cards, or?
Yeah, went to 5x7s.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. Feeling all saucy. Right. Had to transcribe all the cards. No, I separated them by time to beat. Yes.
Yes.
And I also added in all of my PC and Steam and GOG games.
Oh, good call.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would be scared to do that. Like, I just went into GOG. I bought something on GOG, and I always forget about that because it's not in my face like Steam.
Yeah,
Steam. Like, here's another, 30 games I want to play.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, including a bunch that I bought at the same time. So, here's every Space Quest, because why not?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Someday I'll play every adventure game.
Yep. Anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about.
No. We're here to talk about Captain Skyhawk.
Because
this is Abject Suffering, the podcast where Cole and I play terrible games at your behest.
Yes. Why are you doing this to us? Who is our captor today, Gary?
Yeah, that's Brett Murphy.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Brett Murphy. I feel like he's suggested things before.
Yeah.
I feel like he also does things again.
He's a participant. He's firing shots at us.
Yep.
Shots fired. Yeah. And this week we're talking about Captain Skyhawk, which is an NES game that was developed by Rare and published by Milton Bradley.
Not the person, the company.
Right. Not the guy down the street.
Yeah, not the guy you beat up. Not the nerd sound third grader who will give up his milk for just about anything.
That third grader is rich off of that sorry money.
Yeah. If you're not sorry now, I'll make you sorry.
That gives me
an idea. his ribs keep popping out. Yeah. Now that's trouble.
I think you're thinking of Operation.
Yes. Yeah. There was a Incredible Hulk branded operation where one of the things you pull out of him is a tiny flag and you remove Punery Banner from him. I thought that was really cute.
That's really cool. I like that.
Yeah, I like that. I thought it was pretty cute.
Yeah, well, I mean, it carries the spirit of the original with the puns.
Yeah. Yep. Captain Skyhawk, this was one of your first Nintendo games, right?
I don't know about one of the first, but yes, I remember being a young man, a boy really, living in the trailer park, and we would wait slavishly for new games, and they would often turn out to be, you know, RBI 3 and Time Lord.
Sure.
And then Captain Skyhawk came in. I remember everybody being really excited about it for some reason.
You guys had proven your affinity for Rare at that point.
Because of the Time Lord, yeah.
Yeah, because of Time Lord. So you guys liked Rare. Milton Bradley makes fun, sorry. And it also had the acclaimed composer David Wise.
Yeah, I don't know who David Wise is, but I'm looking at the same Wikipedia page as you.
No, I just had that memorized. I thought that is not true. This guy does do good video game music, though.
The music in this is pretty good.
Yeah, the music's great. And I'm looking through like his Wikipedia. Like, this is who I should have been in life. Like, this was my job. You know, my dream job is always like if I go back and compose like video game music in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And this guy did, you know, Marvel Madness and Wizards and Warriors, all kinds of really good music.
Star Fox Adventures.
I don't know what the music in that.
No, I'm just.
It might be good music, though.
I just assume that everything about it's bad.
RC Pro-Am, good music, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Super Glove Ball.
Sure. And Bot, yeah. Good music in this game.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's not the worst game we've ever done.
No,
like,
no.
This isn't too bad. Like, it kind of borders right on that edge. Like,
I came back. I was like, this could be our redemption.
It's a little too, like, I didn't have very much fun playing it. Like, I don't think it's actually bad. I think it's too hard.
Yeah.
But it's not bad. Like, I think the worst thing you can say about Captain Skyhawk is it's, like, gimmicky.
Yeah, but that plays to its favor, too, because you're doing a bunch of stuff in it. Like there's a tremendous amount of gameplay variety.
Yeah, but none of, that's what I mean is, like, there is a lot of variety, which is the gimmick, but none of it is fully, you know, fleshed out or that good.
I suppose that's true.
You know, like, I feel like everything the game does, another game does better that I've played. Like, it's not the best kind of horizontal scrolling shoot 'em up. And there's not very much reason to get low to the ground. Like, is there something I'm missing?
I have no idea. There are some missions that require you to drop like cargo onto things. And I think that makes it easier.
Gotcha.
If you're lower to the ground, it has to fall less distance. So it's more accurate.
Yeah, so like the big gimmick here is that like it's a shooter, you know, a scrolling shooter, and instead of up and down moving you vertically and horizontally on the screen, it lowers your pitch, so you go higher and lower in relation to the ground, which is set up in this kind of like a pseudo 3D.
Yeah.
But there's no, you can still shoot things on the ground when you're at maximum height.
Yeah.
As you do in these kind of things.
Mercifully.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely mercifully, because that would be a nightmare. But since there's all this topography and your plane is, you know, as fragile as a real plane, which I mean, like if you hit, you know, your wing hits a mountain, you blow up.
Yeah.
So it's real tricky with that. And there's very little reason though to use that Z dimension when you're playing for the most part. I didn't get to any cargo levels. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They're not too far in. But yeah. So you're kind of flying around. It's like isometric. It's got like you said, pseudo 3D. It's like this weird like wireframe, flat shaded. Really kind of ambitious for an NES game at this point. But Rare was doing, you know, Rare was kind of like, we're going to make graphically complex, tricky games, right?
Yeah, they really wanted everything to be pretty pretty 3D-y. There's another game that did this before, like Zaxxon.
Yeah, Zaxxon.
Like a Sega game. Yeah, which is, so it's kind of like a Zaxxon that didn't actually move to the upper right. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's impressive, but it had been done before.
Yeah. Well, Zaxxon was mostly the arcade.
Yeah.
Like bringing this home, you know, like most of the NES, like success on that, on the NES was considered to be like, it does this mimic the arcade. You know,
I wonder
when
Zen the Intergalactic Ninja came out for NES, because I think that had that same thing. And actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I haven't looked at that game since I like rented it. I bet you it's a Rare game. Like, it looks a little bit like a Rare game. It feels kind of Rare-y. Not bad. It kind of looks cool.
Yeah.
Good music. You move so, like, your plane is so sensitive, though.
Yeah, it's real goofy.
Yeah, it's really easy to die in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very difficult. I, like, the game is a super hard game. And then also, everything. So the two, my big two problems with this game, like, and there's not too much, like, it's mostly pretty good, is how you control, or I guess three problems, how zoomed in the camera is. Like, if you zoomed out, that wouldn't be as big a problem.
I didn't even think that was a problem.
I found it. I wanted to know things. I wanted to know turns I was making before the game would let me. But that's we'll call that 2.5. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that everything that you kill blows up in like a spread shot.
Yeah.
That like is really hard for me to distinguish from actual projectiles I need to avoid.
Well, the projectiles are like 2 pixels wide and gray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's really hard to separate like what you need to avoid from what you don't. Mm-hmm. And that goes for like mountaintops too. Like, if you're not at maximum altitude, mm-hmm. and you're like a couple knocks below it or whatever, you never know which hills are going to blow you up.
Right. And the hitboxes are really, really inconsistent too.
Yep.
There's no like drop shadow that tells you how close you are to hitting this thing. Like, you know, if there was a drop shadow that got closer to your plane as you were flying by, it's like, pretty close. But that's asking a bit too much of what's.
Yeah.
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 But so like I was playing it and, you know, yes, it is incredibly sensitive, but I kind of marveled like if Nintendo tried to do Star Fox on the NES, it probably would approximate something like this. Like without the FX chip or whatever it was. Like, yeah, they would, you know, like just kind of like, okay, we're going to try and do like a 3D kind of thing, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And in that way, it felt similar to me.
I would think they would do something more like a Space Harrier, you can do a game on this, you know, this number of bits from the same perspective as Star Fox.
Hmm.
You know,
they do it a little bit in this, but it doesn't have a background. It just has a the tilting.
It has tilting, and then it also doesn't have an end.
Right.
So it has those two things because that level goes on for fucking ever. Like the second level, yeah, where you switch to like the behind the shoulder Space Harrier mode.
Mm-hmm.
God, does that never end? And nothing can hurt you,
right?
Like, you're just like, just it's like the, a target practice
the
thing.
The later ones get really, really hard
because what comes at you?
Well, the missile. So if you it's kind of like Galaga in that if you don't kill the stuff as it is flying past you, it like doubles back and fires projectiles at you.
Mm.
So it flies past and then it'll fly back towards you. And it'll fire like missiles.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. That makes a sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it has those there. So in between you know, these sets of missions, you find yourself, trying to dock back at the space station where you're at.
Yeah.
Oh, in this game, you're fighting aliens because why not?
they're just driving human helicopters. Though.
Yeah.
Like, and then just driving them in circles. I guess I didn't realize they're aliens, and that makes tons of sense based on how they think helicopters should move.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a lot of helicopters, like a guy, three of his buddies, like all getting in helicopters and doing like these synchronized helicopter things, like they're stealing from a train in an Ocean's 11 movie or something.
Yeah.
And just kind of going in circles, occasionally, every once in a while, firing an invisible bullet at you.
Yeah. That's their one alien technology, invisible bullets. They get us every time.
Yeah, we can't make ourselves like just make the helicopters out of the same stuff you make the bullets out of.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. You know, just we can put a man on the moon, but when the moon men come to us.
Yep. Yeah, we can't see their bullets.
Nope. Yeah, thanks, Obama.
Yeah.
But
and they blow up into bullets that don't hurt you.
Right.
So if you manage to Where's Waldo a bullet in this game, God help you if you can figure out whether it's something to worry about.
Yeah, or if it's on the same plane as you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, you know. The space station docking sequences are really annoying. So there was this thing. So Top Gun, the NES game of Top Gun, is infamous for having those interstitial levels where you have to refuel or land on the carrier. It's land on the carrier, right? And it's like, pull up, drop down, pull up, drop
down.
You had
to refuel as well.
Oh,
but
yeah.
That, like, no one ever saw that because it was after you,
it was
had,
after
to land.
You had to land.
Yeah, so it was right past the land wall of Top Gun.
Yeah, the continental shelf.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just nobody can get past.
Yeah, but in this one, using the oversensitive controls, you have to perfectly align yourself horizontally on this, for some reason, like, rotating platform.
Yeah, why are they doing that?
Yeah,
like, just to give you some extra challenge.
Hold it still.
Yeah, this is really dangerous, guys.
Yeah.
The other thing too that like breaks the rules of the game, because like ordinarily, you know, if you press up once you stop pressing up, you will stop moving up.
Right.
But here, it's just, it's like you have to tap down to stop moving up. Like, it's real finicky. Yeah. Like, it is threading a needle, mm-hmm. you know, in all senses. Like,
yeah,
it is very, very finicky. Yeah. And it makes no sense. Like, I went through the dock. I managed to dock my spaceship and then just went into a space level. So I didn't really dock at all. Like, I'd already bought stuff, right? No, that happens after you dock.
Yeah, yeah. Like, so you dock,
you do the first level,
you
immediately do the Space Harrier level, mm-hmm. and then you dock to buy things.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's neat that you can buy things. You know, your regular cannon fire is unlimited. You can buy extra cannons to fire faster, and then you buy expendable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Missiles and smart bombs and shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, cool. Yeah. Nice little arcade touch.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, there's a lot of like elements to like about this game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've never been. Are you a big shooter guy?
Not really. No. No.
Yeah, I thought about it when we made our big list of like genres we've done for Watch Out for Fireballs. I had took like what's missing from this? What games have we not done? What types of games? And that was one of them that popped up. You know, and I thought about it. Like, is there one that is deep enough and like that I would like playing enough to do, but it's just kind of never been a genre for me.
No.
You know, I've never been into it. And when I do like it, I tend to like, I kind of favor like the R-type. Like, I like a side-scrolling, you know, shooter.
Yeah, and I tend to like, you know, 1942, 1943, you know.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Like, you want your shooters to be historically accurate.
Yeah. So I was thinking about that, too. So, like, this game was kind of, you know, modeled to be like flight simulators at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the up-and-down stick motion.
Yeah. And so, like, for all of my dad tendencies, you know, God knows my jokes, my proclivity to, you know, go to bed early, listening to live Rust as I dust my apartment.
Your son.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, the whole flight simulator thing, and then kind of the fascination with planes, you know, jets and things like that. Like, that's something just I have never had in me.
Or trains.
Yeah.
Do you have the trains?
I wasn't like, autistic, Gary.
Yeah.
But
how come planes are dad, but trains are autistic?
I don't know.
Where do buses fall on your scale? Ableist?
No, I'm not intentionally being ableist. No, you know what? You're right. We had a kid at my high school. He was a nice guy, but he was on the spectrum. He was kind mm-hmm. of, you know, in the general population, just because he was high functioning enough. He got picked on a bunch, and it was real regrettable. But he didn't do a bunch to help himself. Not that mm-hmm. he could, yeah. just because it's, you know, it's really hard. But he would he would always walk bad hygiene too. But he would always walk around with these gigantic tomes about World War II jets,
mm-hmm.
or not jets, but you know, like fighter planes and things like that. Or,
yeah,
you know, carriers and things. And I was like, huh. And you would ask him questions, and he would like be able to name the how this is how long this ship was and stuff. And like it was real sad because you try and engage him in conversation about it, you know, just because that's what you do. You know, people are picking on him, but he would assume that you were like, you know, trying to egg him on, and he'd be like real hostile about it. It's like, I'm just trying to talk to you about what you're interested in.
I wonder if on some level he was picking up that you weren't actually interested. Like, I'm not trying to cast any, you know, villainy upon you, but like, if there's any part of him that understood that it wasn't genuine and that's what he reacted to.
I was kind of interested.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't know. For as non-social as I am, I like to think that I'm okay at being interested in other people.
I'd be interested, but I would be trying to like figure out what was so interesting about it to him, which is not like as damning as it sounds initially. Mm-hmm. Like, finding out why somebody likes something is a big part of, you know, figuring out like what there is to like about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a weird thing. Like, and it's a really, really deep well.
Yeah.
Like that stuff. But it's what I have no interest in, you know, the machines of war.
Yeah.
You know, or like I'll look at a train sometimes and be like, that is a big, fast, like piece of metal, and kind of be into that. And, you know, trains are a nice way to travel, and you know, you go into a train station, it's very gentlemanly. But I don't like just stats and stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. That's a huge thing though. Mm-hmm. Weird hobbyist.
Yeah, but there are people like, you know, the flight simulator thing who will simulate flights across the country. Just be like, oh, you know, I'm doing
commercial.
Yeah, I'm doing New York to, you know, Budapest or something.
Yeah, like commercial airline flights.
Like in real time, like got to keep it steady.
You know? Yeah, there's a plain desert bus in the sky.
Yeah.
Like constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nuts to me. And it's funny too, because it's such a niche market, but because it's so dedicated, like Microsoft has never not put out a flight simulator.
Right.
Nor have there, like those companies that make the rigs for them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like still, you know, that's been part of computer gaming since like the very beginning of it.
Right.
It's kind of crazy. They just gotten more elaborate and expensive to where like now they have these like cockpit rigs. Have you ever seen one of those?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like 17 steel battalions.
Yeah, exactly. Just kind of glued together like a Katamari of steel battalions. Like, yeah, that stuff's nuts.
Yeah.
I have no interest in that. Like, I have no interest in, I'm going to go, this is fun. It's the day after tomorrow, I'm going ballooning.
Like hot air ballooning?
Yeah.
Huh. Aren't you afraid that there's going to be like a rogue gust and you're going to end up like over Canada somehow? You're going to end up like just stuck in a tree?
Free Canada, dude.
Free like, Canada.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
They might not listen to my phone calls in Canada. Like,
yeah.
I don't know for sure.
I guess it wasn't so much the Canada thing, except as a way of saying far away from home. It was more the stuck in a tree with no food and wolves.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, I mean, reading between the lines of what you're saying, there's a chance I could end up in Mexico.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That is something to be.
Or, like, more likely, if we're talking just by sheer statistic, you know, like geographical closeness, the ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Although the jet stream doesn't take you over there. And Iowa. Iowa is more likely based on the way the winds go.
If I ended up in international waters, I don't know what I would do.
Gamble.
Like, that's probably true. Well, so imagine it's not like it's my girlfriend won this in an auction.
Okay.
And it's a lot of people who are on this balloon. I thought it was just going to be like a little 2-person balloon, but it's a lot of people. And I imagine a lot of old people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's a fair prejudice to have. But like if I end up floating over international waters with like me, my girlfriend, a balloonier of some kind,
a balloonist,
a gentleman aviator, and then like six old couples, like what do I do first?
Establish dominance.
Yeah. So I would either kill or fuck the strongest looking old person I saw. Or what?
No,
I gotcha. I thought you were going to posit a more ghastly third thing.
No. Well, I kind of did.
Yeah. I guess that's true.
Which I don't really think is funny. I think saying it is funny, but no.
Yeah, if I actually were to kill fuck, like an old, you know, old...
An old man, yeah.
Old man, old lady,
yeah,
old and, anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. My girlfriend would hate that.
It's like right there.
Yeah, like, does it count as cheating?
Not if it's for survival.
Not international waters.
Not if it's for survival. Think of all the social capital that you're going to buy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, I'm going to run you guys
like,
out.
Like, when the Triscuits are coming down to the bottom of the box, you know, the box of Triscuits that's in every hot air balloon basket.
Yep.
Who's going to get the last Triscuit?
That's going to be Cranky Carl, who I feed the Triscuits, just kind of internally baste him.
Oh, yeah.
to salt him from the inside out.
These are good, aren't they? They're cracked olive. They're cracked pepper and olive oil. Mm.
Yeah, Carl's cracked pepper and olive oil.
Can I rub your tummy? Oh, make sure it spreads around real even. Yeah, real nice, nice Carl. Mm.
Yeah, good Carl.
Good Carl.
Yes, the good Carl.
Yes, the good Carl.
Mm.
Oh man, so what would you do? Or was the purpose of the exercise just to ask that question?
No, I'd probably be pretty scared. International waters holds very little real excitement for me. A little bit of fakey excitement. Not very much real excitement.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't kill or murder or gamble.
No.
No.
You would be able to do Open Waters 3, though. Open skies.
That's true. When will we drown? Eventually. Man, what if that I haven't even thought about like what happens. I've been mostly just concerned about getting airsick. What happens if I have to, like, you know, either fly the balloon or give birth? Not give birth, but receive birth, I guess.
Okay, I'll have this baby for you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, well, are you down for it, Elizabeth? They seem nice. Carl and his wife. They've always wanted a kid. It's too late for them.
Then we need to ensure that their lineage will pass on.
Yeah, take your emotion.
Merciful Poseidon.
Raise him as your own, Poseidon. Prince of the ocean, and I shall name him Captain Skyhawk.
Oh man, I was gonna say this is the origin story for something, but I think we landed
My internment in prison. Like, is the origin story for me being very sad. Even though, like, you know, now with the white collar prisons, I bet you we could still do the podcast if I was in prison.
Yeah, no. It would just be
like talking about, like, this week we're talking about tic-tac-toe.
Yeah.
It's a game that you can play with a piece of rock and a piece of sidewalk. You know, and a friend. I have two of the three things here in prison, and I've played it before in the past.
Pro tip, whoever plays first wins, but you will get shivved.
Yeah,
sorry, exactly. Shanked. The shiv is the noun, shank is the verb. You shank somebody with a shiv. This is very important, Gary.
Yes.
This is very, very important.
You have shanks.
Yes.
But you get shanked.
No, you have shiv. You have shivs, but you've been shanked.
Well, you have shanks as well.
No.
A human. No, not that kind of shank.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I guess flanks? It's a synonym.
Don't you mean flanks?
I think you have a shank, too.
Hmm. Like flank steak? Shank steak?
But let's see what...
shank biology. Let's go. Or shank anatomy.
Shank is a 2D side-scrolling beat 'em up. Damn it, it's the lower part of a leg.
Mm, okay, yeah.
It's also called the shin.
Yeah. I have shankers on my shank.
Yeah, your shankles. You got shanks and flanks.
Shanks.
Like, if we ever start our human meat business in international waters, that's what we're going to call it.
Mm, yeah.
Shanks and flanks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like this. What did that have to do with Captain Skyhawk, aside from being how he was born under Poseidon's breast?
He was in the sky.
He was in the sky.
He had to watch out for hawks as he sank to the bottom of the briny deep.
Seahawks?
Yep, the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, boy.
Keep in mind that I've blown off course. So.
I don't think that Seattle counts as international waters.
If you go far enough out on the sound, it does.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it has waters.
It does have waters.
What do you know, landlubber? Like, don't talk to me. I live in a coastal state. Don't talk to me about international waters.
I'm just theorizing, postulating.
Anywho, Captain Skyhawk isn't that bad.
No,
it's not even like really bad enough to do for the show.
No, it's not. But hey, you know, let's put this in there with Pac-Man 2.
Oh, I wouldn't give it Pac-Man 2 status.
Well, no, I mean,
it's not an ambitious failure. It's
ambitious.
Oh, I guess it is ambitious.
It's ambitious. It doesn't fail. It's ambitious mediocrity.
It's ambitious.
It's ambitious.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, so putting it on the shelf with the possible redemptions.
Sure.
That we have.
Sure. Which are Pac-Man 2 and what is it? Home Improvement?
I think Home Improvement might count.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That's it. And if you like listening to us get mad and talk about games we hate, next episode is going to be a real fucking doozy.
Yeah, it is the second part of the Hawk duology.
Yeah, this game is bad.
Yeah.
And I'd never heard of it before. Like, I feel like it just sprung fully formed from, like, you know, the ether.
Yeah. It's like it was just born of our enmity.
Like, now if someone's playing a video game in Law and Order, they choose a licensed game. But if they had to, like, make up a game for someone to be playing in Law and Order in, like, 1992, it would probably be Mohawk and Headphone Jack.
Yeah. For the SNES. Holy shit.
Yeah. It is. It's aggressive.
Yeah. So it is aggressive. It's also, we're doing this as a reward for one of our Kickstarter backers, Michael Henderson, who you picked a real doozy.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, Michael. Like... Yeah, so next episode 100% dedicated to Michael Henderson.
Yeah.
You know, and we're going to say mean things about you.
Yeah.
Because we played Mohawk, and which is not only a bad game but is physically harmful to us. Like, I was complaining about Bubsy making me sick.
It's like odious.
This, this whole show is dedicated to like my lukewarmness of towards Sonic the Hedgehog and the mean things we both said about Rare. And like the show, like it's just becoming this kind of like, don't like Sonic the Hedgehog, eh? Don't like Rare, eh? You
know? Yeah. With tinted fingers.
Yeah, nauseating fucking game, Michael. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Do you want to know? Do you want to know what he suggested first?
Oh yes,
Blaster Master 2.
I don't remember Blaster Master 2.
It wasn't that bad.
Oh, a PlayStation game.
I don't know. I don't know that it was a PlayStation. Like it was a Master Blaster. Master Blaster 2. What?
Yeah, I thought the sequel came out on PlayStation.
I thought that it was
Sega Genesis.
Sega Genesis, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he rescinded that because he said, oh, it turns out that it's not that bad.
And it then looks he did cool this. As shit. I never even heard of it.
Yeah.
There is a play. There's Master Blaster 2000, which is the one I was thinking of.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought that we were going to dodge a bullet there, but instead we took it right to the dome.
Yeah, Yeah, he went from, you know, pretty decent. I'm glad we didn't do two decent games in a row.
Yeah.
I guess there are things that are pretty funny about Mohawk, but it did also make me feel really sick.
Yeah.
So on the balance, like, you know, who wins? Michael Henderson.
Yes, he does.
Yes.
As do you all. So, usual admin stuff, blah, 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 other shows in the network. We have had a lot of reviews and stuff come through recently. Thank you very much, everybody. That's just go to iTunes on your device of choice. If you are of the iTunes persuasion, leave us a rating or review. We pop up a new and noteworthy from time to time, and we could always use more. So that is the best way to support this particular venture.
Yes, indeed. And support it you shall.
Yes.
Yeah, and then there's the Amazon tip jar.
Yep.
Yep. On the DuckFeed site. So not going to go overboard with admin, but there it is. Captain Skyhawk, Brett Murphy, you know, go have some fun. Go buy yourself something nice.
Yeah. like at the worst, go get mildly inconvenienced.
Yeah, go get convenient. Go have a long light.
Yeah.
Go miss a bus.
Yeah.
Go miss a bus yourself.
Yeah.
So.
Umbasa.